Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
You're listening to Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a podcast about Linux, open source and amateur radio for everyone. Now here are your hosts, Russ, K5TUX, Cheryl, W5MOO, and Bill, NE4RD.
All right, newly licensed general operator, W5MOO. Ooh. Yeah. I'm Russ, K5TUX. She's over there. Bill's made it safely back to Big Sky Country.
Woohoo!
He saw Tetons in the morning light on the way home.
So that's right.
It's a nice welcome back to Wyoming, I guess. All right, so this is episode number 229. It's our first episode since we've all been back from Hamvention. So let's talk a little bit about Hamvention. I picked up a couple of Baofeng radios and a cold.
Now, I think you had the cold when we left.
Well,
I think one of your coworkers shared with you.
Probably. So.
Kissing cousins at work?
Yeah, or something like that.
Yeah, he has one coworker that sits beside his cubicle, and every single time he works down there, he comes back with a cold. He'll be like, yeah, Kayla had a cold again. I'm like, Kayla always has a cold, and therefore you're going to have a cold. And 3 or 4 days later, look, he's got a cold. So
yes. Yeah. You should start your mornings there with just like Clorox wipes and just wipe everything down first, and then you can sit down.
Yeah, and he probably yeah. needs to take some Airborne with him and suck a couple of glasses of that down. And
yeah, that I'll just do that as for my lunch. I'll just drink Airborne instead of water or juice or anything
right,
like that.
Yeah, there so. You go.
All right. Well, anyway, that explains the change in the timbre of my voice. So anyway. Bill picked up a Wolf River coil and a nice long whip to go with it for his car on the way back, and we set that up on Saturday night and made a successful contact out in New Mexico, and then you made a few contacts on the way home, too.
Yeah, so I picked up the, it's actually the soda kit from Wolf River, so it includes the 10 through 40 meter coil. And a collapsible whip and a stand and three radials at the Hamvention. And then I was like, well, you can use these mobile, right? And he's like, yeah, we got a lot of guys that use it mobile. And he showed me some pictures and I'm like, okay. He's like, well, we have these 102 inch whips. I was like, okay, I'll take one of those too. We'll give it a whirl on the way home. I had like my trunk full of ham sticks and I was having issues with those. I don't know what, maybe it was just, you know, operator error. But we put it on there, loaded it up. Yeah, it worked fine. So I was like, okay, I'll just drive with it. So I was in the middle of, I think it was Iowa or something like that, like Cedar Falls or something like that. And I was here in Europe most of the way home anyway. I was here in Europe on 20 meters. And I tried to call a couple guys and no success because they were like, you know, pileups and stuff like that. So I was just tuning around the band. I found a guy finally calling CQ and nobody was answering. And it was Italy. So I worked Italy first time. No problems. He copied me just fine. I said, yeah, 50 watts from the mobile in Cedar Falls, Iowa. And he read back fine. So, he gave me a 5 and 5 and 5, I think. So, yeah, not bad. 5 and 5, 5 and 3 or something like that. 5 and 5, probably. I'd have to look at my log somewhere in the car.
Not bad for mobile in Iowa to all the way across Europe. I mean, Yeah.
I was impressed. That was worth the price of admission in my opinion. I was like, okay, that's good. I'm happy. I did work a guy when I just left Hamvention. I worked a guy actually in northern Indiana, and he was just booming in on 20, you know, just short, obviously short distance because I was, you know, just almost into Indiana, and worked him mobile. And yeah, he said, yeah, I'm like the loudest mobile he's heard. And I'm like, well, probably because I'm so close and the band conditions are mediocre at best right now. But we had a nice quick QSO and chatted up a little bit. And so, yeah, I was pretty happy. Although I did notice, because I did have this mounted in the front of the car, the bugs hitting it eventually did create some shortening of the line a little bit. So I did have some tuning issues along the road. I had to kind of go out there and wipe them off and move on. So I think if I had to use it for mobile, I'd probably protect the coil somewhat if it's in the front. If not, I'll think about how to move it to the back and find a mounting point back there. But yeah, so that was like my only purchase there, and I was pretty happy with it. So.
Well, I bet you didn't expect to have an insect balin on the way home. I mean,
yeah.
How come no one's thought of this before? I mean, it's a perfect way to use dead bugs, right?
Yeah, sure. Exactly. Yeah. You don't need a clip to short the antenna. You can just use bug guts. But yeah, it was a good time. And yeah, it was so fun meeting everybody that came there to say hi, and people just stopping by the booth, and ran into a lot of scouters from the National Jamboree last year. Ran into a lot of them at walking around the event, spotted a few of them that weren't working the K2BSA booth. And so that was good fun all around. And of course, meeting Gene and a couple of the other ones that we, you know, don't really expect to see because they're so far away.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And we, you know, thanks to Don, KB2YSI, we had a lot of DVDs that we were able to give away for a donation to the program. And we had a whole lot left over. And at the end, you took some and you're going to give them away. Do you have a plan for those?
Yeah, actually, I took them to the club meeting Monday night and set them on the table there for the club members to try out. So hopefully I'll hear back from it. I told them, hey, if you have any problems or questions, call me. I had to run back here, so I didn't get a chance to actually do the meeting itself. I had to sign some Eagle Scout paperwork, so quite busy on Monday evening. Of course, this is when I was, you know, still groggy from driving. Because it was Monday when I got back. I got back Monday morning, and I still had tons of stuff to do on Monday.
All right. Excellent. So, yeah, we all had a great time. We noticed that the foot traffic seemed to be down a bit, especially on Saturday. Friday was just fine.
Because it was raining all day.
Yeah, I mean, the rain definitely does drive things in, you know, as far as the indoor vendors are concerned, so that's always nice. But Saturday was down a little bit, but, I mean, we still had lots of, you know, visitation from everybody. Everybody had, you know, kind words to say and good questions to ask and things like that. We did get a couple of interviews, which we're going to publish in the next episode. So stay tuned for that. It'll be really interesting because I learned a lot about a certain topic that I didn't know about. So
yes, spoiler alert, if you follow us on Twitter, you can find that information out.
Yep, you already know. We won't give it away.
Super
here.
Super secret.
Yeah. Super secret out in the open. That's exactly where
there
it is.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And I talked to some of the vendors while I was walking around there Sunday, and most of them had really good words about the traffic, even though, you know, we kind of saw that slowdown on Saturday. Apparently, it didn't really impact the business of what people were there for Hamvention for. So that was good to hear. I've seen a couple of write-ups since then, and it all seems to be fairly positive comments. So, yeah, I think they probably did fine.
And I will say a quick shout out to the folks over at R&L Electronics, because that's where I bought pretty much all the stuff that I bought there. And, I had an issue with one of the Baofeng radios that I bought, which was probably my issue, not theirs, but they, were very accommodating, you know, taking stuff back and basically getting me exactly what I wanted and, really being, you know, price effective. I mean, I don't know how they sell the shit for as little as they sell it for. I mean, because I know
it's
the stuff
giving
is,
it away.
Yeah, I know the stuff is inexpensive, but they're like really inexpensive there. So yeah, so a big shout out to R&L Electronics. They're an Ohio company. I don't remember where, but yeah, if you go to Hamvention and you want to buy some stuff, because they had the whole range. They had everything from Baofengs to, you know, top end Yaesus and ICOMs and everything else. So if you needed some ham gear, they had it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so. I almost went over to the Biano people. They were over there selling batteries, and I was thinking, man, I could buy me a nice big fat battery for soda since I got this nice antenna.
Yeah, there you go.
And then I was like, maybe I should wait.
Next year.
Yeah, maybe next time. Or, you know.
Do you remember?
I got a 4200 milliamp battery right now, which would probably be fine for like a single activation.
Right.
But it wouldn't be bad to have a second one.
Yeah, there was also the company that had the no-holes installation kits for various things. They had, like, cup mounts and windshield mounts and things like that. Do you happen to remember the company? I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
No, they were in the building next door. You sent me over there. I came out with something.
Right. So. I don't remember the company. If we find them, I'll put them in the show notes, because Cheryl was having a thing where we got her a handy talkie, and she was having an issue like carrying it around, like how to hold on to it. And I'm like, well, why don't you go over and ask those guys and see if they have something for, like, you can hang it off your wheelchair somewhere. And sure enough, they found something where you could actually mount it on the back cane of her wheelchair and clip a radio to it and keep the speaker mic, you know, on her lapel or whatever. So
yeah, which is a lot better than me having the radio clipped to my bra strap, because when you're sitting in a wheelchair, you really can't put it in your pocket. So
I did that as a lark, and it's funny that they actually came up with something. So.
It took him a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, it took him like 10 minutes, and he was like, you know, he kept walking around my chair and then walking back behind his table looking at stuff and coming out with other things, and he'd walk back out, and, you know, finally he surfaced with the thing that I came home with. And he was just like, I think this is the only thing we've got that'll work. And I was like, and I think that will work just fine.
Yep.
And he was like, yeah, you're going to have to be careful going through like doors and stuff with it. And I was like, we'll fix it where that is not a problem.
Yeah.
And he was like,
okay. Put it
on
the inside or something.
Yeah.
On the inside of the cane. And plus it'll actually mount it up high. So the antenna will actually be like over the top of your head, which will make it even receive better. So there you go.
Yeah. I did want to make one more mention of the youth programs that were over in that building too, with the guys with all the attachments for your, you know, clipping on stuff. And
right.
I was really impressed walking over there the several times I did, how full that youth area was with a lot of engaged youth. They had looked like some kit building going on there. They had some little robot war things going on there. It looked really good seeing, group of youth at the Hamvention like that and having their own little area. And I heard the youth forum was really well attended. So, congrats to the Hamvention folks for getting space for all these youth programs and getting them engaged.
Yeah, I walked through there too, because you kind of had to go through the rest of the building. But they definitely had a lot of visitors over there. And everyone did seem really interested in what was going on. I did see all the robotics and the kit builders and the makers and all that stuff over there. And that's where they had the youth forums as well, too. So it was nice to see that super heavily attended. So,
yeah.
All right. Cool. Well, we want to finally thank everybody who donated to our Hamvention campaign. It was a huge success. We were fully funded when we started. We got lots of donations while we were there. Mystery Guy made his appearance again. So... you know who you are.
Yes, and thank you very much.
So thank you.
Yes, very generous. Very generous.
Yep. Extraordinarily. Like, stupidly so, actually. And I'm just like...
you know, you're calling the person Mystery Guy. It could be Mystery Woman.
No. I've made comments about that before, and just based on the amateur radio community, I'm going to say it's a guy. I think I'm safe in that. But, yeah. We're never going to know, so I guess we'll, whatever. But, thanks to everyone who donated, great and small. Every little bit helped a lot. We all had a great time, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year.
2019.
Yep. Ooh, 2019. We're every day we're going on to hotel sites, waiting for that day to open up so we can get something a lot closer to Xenia, because nuts to these 30-minute drives. Yeah. All right, so we're going to move on with the regular business of our program.
No. I have something to say.
Oh, you have something to say. Excellent.
I want to thank Kevin Murray, K2FN, for actually coming and testing me at 9 o'clock on Thursday night. They got tangled up in a horrific wreck between New Jersey and Dayton, Ohio. So, you know, they were running late, and luckily had time to set up our booth. But yeah, he and his crew were more than happy to test me. So again this year. So
yep. If you listened to our last episode, Kevin Murray talked to us a little bit about himself and about Whiskey Charlie 2 Fox Delta and their affiliation with the Laurel VEC team and all that stuff. So there's a little bit of audio from him. So check that out. And yes, that group is always super, super accommodating. So Cheryl has agreed to try and get her extra next year.
Did I?
Yep, she doesn't know that, but she did.
Absolutely.
whoa, wait. Can someone clue me in?
I heard it.
Did
we all heard it. Yeah.
Yeah,
two against one, so.
Yeah, okay.
No, I think it's all of our listeners against one.
Great.
Yeah.
All right.
Even the non-ham ones are one.
That's right. That's right. All right. Yeah, you need to get your extra. No, you don't need to get your extra. But if you do, that would be great.
Okay.
All right. So now we'll move on to the regular business of our program and talk about some upcoming events, because this is our weekender edition. So Bill's going to rattle off some contests that are coming up real soon now.
Yeah, we got a big one coming up this weekend. It's the CQ Worldwide WPX contest, the CW edition. So if you got a good prefix, get on there and CW. And even if you have to use one of those evil decoders to decode the CW, I suggest just getting on there anyway. It's kind of fun. And, you know, if I can work Europe from the middle of the country on 50 watts, I'm sure you can do well from your house. So that's a great contest to try out that runs May 26th at Zero Zulu all the way through to 2359 on May 27th. And, of course, you can check out the rules over there on the CQWPX site. Next weekend, there's a bunch of little stuff going on next weekend, but I picked out this one here because it looked interesting. This is a DigiFest, and this runs from, looks like a couple of spots here on June 2nd from 400 Zulu to 200 Zulu. And it looks like from 2000 Zulu on June 2nd to 400 Zulu on June 3rd. And yeah, a bunch of other times too, a bunch of little operating windows. So, check out that contest, coming up here. Apparently it's using all the other oddball, digital modes. I didn't see like an FT8 on there and stuff like that. I did see like Olivia and, MPSK and a bunch of other ones. So, give that one a look-see, especially because we just had our challenge the other week about getting onto some random modes. So here's the modes: RIDI 75, so it's 75 baud, not the normal RIDI that you would run. So I think a normal contest RIDI is RIDI 45, BPSK 63, MFSK 16, Hellschreiber, good old Hellschreiber, and Olivia. So yeah, try that out. It's on all the regular bands. It looks like everything but 160. It's got a bunch of different. Categories you can try: single op, all bands, single mode, whatever you want to try. So yeah, give that a try. Try out some of those other modes and give your signal links and your rig blasters a workout.
I want to try the Hellschreiber one. That's the mode I really want to make a contact on because it's just so cool. The sort of image mode that Hellschreiber is.
I want looks like ticker tape.
Yeah, I want to do that one.
Yeah, I've actually worked some people on that before. So yeah, it is a mode that I've done in the past. I haven't done it recently, probably more than 10 years ago, but I have made some several contacts on that. Yeah, it's definitely a fun one. Let's go into special events. We got a bunch of special events coming up because this is Memorial Day weekend. So as everybody's hitting the road, we have some special events going on, and there's three of them that I found specific to Memorial Day weekend. Now they are running for more than just Memorial Day weekend, but you can find Kilo One Alpha. They're run by the let's see here. I'm trying to see the club name. I just see the club, the Cleburne Texas Club, KC5NX. They'll be on HF on 20 and 40, so you can find them. We also have K7UGA. They're over in Phoenix, Arizona, the Central Arizona DX Association. They'll be on all bands and all modes, so they're going to be omnipresent on the bands. So you can check them out too over their cadxa.org site. And then we also have the Vietnam Memorial Moving Wall is also going to be on the air as an NV, November Victor 7 Charlie Victor. And they're going to be over there in Minden, Nevada. So the Sierra Intermountain Emergency Radio Association will be on there. And looks like they'll be running some 2 meters and 20 meters and 40 meters. So they have some QSL information and they'll probably tell you all about that, that moving wall if you, haven't seen that before. And then the following weekend, we have the big museum ships weekend. And this particular event seems to be growing and growing. I know, the local club here gets involved. They actually go down to the naval, it's like a Navy reserve, you know, building or something like that for all the reservists up here. And so they activate the building as part of the weekend. So check that out. That's a pretty fun one to collect a bunch of museum ships and stuff like that. So you'll see like the USS North Carolina will be on the air, and you know all these other all these other ships that are docked for museums and stuff like that, a lot of them have amateur radio clubs associated with them, and they maintain the radios and stuff like that on the ships. And a lot of times they'll even use the actual antennas on the ship. So it's kind of interesting to see that and work a bunch of them.
All right. Excellent. Is that the, let's see, that ship one, is that the one that they do here at the Titanic?
No, they do that in April when the Titanic
sank. Oh, right, because of the sinking, right. Okay, so that's a different thing. I was on the radio today, and I heard a special event station, Whiskey 4 Tango, and they, I don't remember what they were for, some sort of thing in Georgia. Didn't get in contact with them, and it's funny you should mention the K7 UGA, because the guy I was talking to on the way up to Hamvention, we talked to him all the way from Springfield to somewhere in Illinois. He's actually the head of the K7 UGA.
Oh, nice.
Can't remember. His name was Bill, same as you, and his call sign was like KE9 something. I can't remember. I've been trying to look it up, but I can't remember. But yeah, he's the head of that organization, so it's kind of funny that their contest or their special event came up here.
Yeah.
So, all right, very good.
Lido Radio Mounts, no hole mounting solution.
That's it. Lido or Lido.
Lido or, yeah, yeah. Something. So.
There
yep.
you go.
Yep, I bought a Yaesu mic holder from them, and Cheryl got her thing for her wheelchair. So check out Lido, no hole mounts, or whatever you just said.
Well, let's see, club governance, blah, blah, blah. Was it? No, Bill Poole, AA4Q, he's a secretary. That's for the DX Association.
Yeah.
So he's not the president or anything.
No, I'm looking at their website. He said it was like the organizer or something, something to do with that group, Arizona DX Society.
Silver Comet Trail 10th anniversary.
That was it. Yeah, Silver Comet Trail.
And then there's the Strange Antenna Challenge based out of Springfield.
Everybody get your Pringle cans out.
Yeah. Special event in which amateur radio operators employ found or makeshift antennas to simulate emergency operating conditions following a storm or other disaster. Educational outreach opportunity for clubs to stir interest in antenna theory, and is an interesting special event to draw the interest in potentially new amateur radio operators from the public. The call sign K0S is an affirmation of the unique public service given to all of us through the years.
All right.
Cool.
And that's May 24th through May 27th, so that's about done.
All right, so moving on, we have our amateur radio challenge for the next couple of weeks, and that was, at least for me, I chose getting on an HF net you have never been on before, and I got into one today. It was called the No Name Net. It was on 14240 at 3 p.m. Central Time, and there's lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of HF nets out there. There's a list at November1YankeeZulu.com of tons and tons and tons of nets. There are other lists out there as well. So if you want to check one of those out and just sign on to a net, a lot of them are just kind of rag chew nets, or some of them are technical nets or things like that, or emergency services nets. But just sign into a net, become part of a net, and get your call sign out there and work some HF like I did today. All right, so moving on from there, we're going to switch over to open source topics for this week. Open source things to do, things to try, things to get jiggy with. And the first thing is a distro to try. And the distro you should try this time around is our distro, the one that Bill rolled up for us, the Linux in the Ham Shack version of Ubuntu 18.04, which we've already said a million times at Hamvention is the latest 18.04, which is the LTS. Bill rolled in the ham radio peer blend packages and the PPAs for CQR log to fix the MySQL bug, and the PPA for WSJTX, so you have all the current modes available to you, like FT8. So all of that stuff is available on there. It's a live distro, of course, and an installer, and we will publish a link to where you can download them, and I will be publishing them all as torrents soon. So if you have the ability to seed torrents, please do that. And links to those will be published in the show notes and probably over on the website in the left-hand column as well. So if you can help us out by seeding, please do that, because I don't want to be the only seeder. All right. And then we have some events. So, Cheryl, you want to read one of these events, like maybe the first one?
Maybe I want to read the second
one. Okay, well, you can do the second one. I'll do the first one then.
Whatever.
You don't have to get choked up about it.
It's because you're so mean to me. So anyway, the first event we have for this weekend is the Postgres Vision 2018. It's an event dedicated to applying Postgres to solving digital business challenges. This unique event includes insights from technology and business luminaries, Fortune 500 use cases, examinations of the open source ecosystem, incorporating agility frameworks and DevOps methods, migrating from Oracle and other legacy database systems, adoption of database as a service solutions, and long-range outlooks from industry legends. And it will be June 5th and 6th in Boston.
All right. So you can learn about the open source database product, Postgres. And then there's coming up Texas Linux Fest, and that is down in Austin on June 8th and June 9th. It's an annual community-run conference for Linux. I think they're in like year four or five now, something around there. It features users and enthusiasts from around the Lone Star State, and whether you use free software or Linux at home, in your place of business, in your school or nonprofit, or you are simply curious, Texas Linux Fest has something for you. So check out Texas Linux Fest down there in Austin. All right. And last but not least, we have the LHS Open Source Challenge, and I just threw this in here last minute, but I think it's a good one. It's listen to at least one episode of an open source inspired podcast that you have not listened to before. And I'm going to take my own challenge up here and pick one or two podcasts that I haven't listened to and check them out. Maybe like Sunday Morning Linux for you, even though I've actually listened to it in the past. It's been so long. I might check that one out again. So. All right, so now we're moving into the fun stuff, the hedonism. Let's talk about food, and that's where you jump in and talk about food. And we did have official recognition of your recipe corner at Hamvention. Several folks said they really liked the recipes, so give them one to chew on.
Okay, well, since it's Memorial Day weekend and barbecue season is officially kicking off in the United States, I'm sharing one of our favorite salad recipes, which Russ's mother actually gave me years ago. And anyway, it's for an Asian coleslaw, and it needs a head of red cabbage chopped fine, some green onions, some ramen noodles, some slivered almonds, some sesame seeds, butter, olive oil, sugar, cider vinegar, and soy sauce. It's a really easy recipe to do. The instructions are a little long, so I'm not going to read them over the air. But you can check out the recipe in the show notes. But it is definitely something that is a different cold salad recipe that, you know, everybody seems to love. So
especially if you like sesame, because it's very sesame.
Yes.
And I have a very strong affinity for sesame, so I love this stuff.
We eat on it for a week. So
one thing I will say about this is when you make the dressing, the wet part of it, if you're going to be keeping it for a little while, don't put the two together until right before you need it. And also use less than you think you need, because otherwise it becomes kind of soupy.
Yeah. I actually have in the instructions that, you know, if you're not serving this immediately, keep everything separate. And just put the dressing on like 10 or 15 minutes before you serve it, or it does get soupy and soggy and kind of nasty.
Right. So. And add the dressing like a little bit at a time and make sure it's well coated, because if you just dump it on, you're going to have soup, you know, it doesn't need as much as you think it does.
Right.
So just be careful.
You can always add a little more if you need it, but you know, start out with the dry version and go from there.
Right. Yep. All right, so we're going to move on to my drink corner, and tonight I'm going to be talking about Whistling Andy Straight Bourbon Whiskey. And this is a whiskey that comes from Montana locally. I think it's Big Fork, Montana, is where it comes out of. And Bill bought a bottle of this and brought it to Hamvention, so I thought I would talk about it. The one thing I don't know about this is how much it costs, so I'm going to have to leave that up to Bill when we get to there. It is a straight bourbon whiskey. I did not look up the mash bill. I'm not even sure the mash bill is published. It's 40% alcohol, 80 proof. The color is a medium caramel. I actually saw it described elsewhere as muddy orange, and it does not look muddy orange to me. So it looks just like a regular medium caramel color to me. The nose on it is quite nice. It's a lot of grains. separate and individual grains like corn, cereal grain, oatmeal. You can smell the rye as well. And there's also a little bit of a hint of green apple as well on the nose, which is actually quite pleasant. It's not super complex, but it has a very nice aroma to it. On the taste doesn't really match up with the nose at all, I noticed. You definitely get the oak character from the aging process. It's aged 3 years. You get vanilla, a nice subtle grapefruit. And I'm not usually a fan of the taste of grapefruit, but the way it works into the taste on this is actually quite nice. And then there's a sort of dry rye grain spice finish, which is also very nice. It's a very smooth drinking. I don't personally recommend it as just a, you know, a straight bourbon to drink neat. It's not really that good, but it is definitely an interesting mixer. It has a very nice character when you put it in cola. And that's the way I chose to drink it all weekend long. So,
yeah, he's finishing up the last little bit.
I'm drinking it right now, actually.
Wow.
So, I'm going to give it an 83. I don't really think it's quite good enough to be like a daily, just put it in a glass and drink it neat. But if you want something that's got a great character when mixed with some cola, you could do a lot worse. So Bill has put in here that it costs around $45 a fifth. So to me, that would seem a little expensive for what you're getting. But it is a small batch, you know, local distillery. They locally source all their ingredients there in Montana. So if you want to support local business and local distilleries, you know, definitely go out and get yourself some.
Yeah, I'm curious about their hibiscus coconut rum. That sounds really good.
So. Yeah, that does sound good.
Yeah, banana, plum, licorice.
Yeah, I don't think they had the rum when I was there. I tried the vodka, and it was just vodka.
Yeah, we've got a couple of local distilleries that was like, oh, try our vodka. I'm like, it tastes like vodka. Yeah. So
it's like hard to screw up vodka, but some people do.
Yeah.
Yep.
So.
All right, so we'll move on to what Bill's drinking. Well, not tonight, but over the last weekend.
I drank it over Hamvention weekend. Russ and Cheryl brought me a growler of the Mother's Brewing Company out of Springfield, Missouri. I believe it's the Winter's Grind.
Yes.
Yep. And it was a 6% stout, and it was very, very good. Even when we first got it, because it was a little warm from the travel, right. But it still was fine because it tastes like coffee. It's a coffee beer. And from the website, they say it's coffee in the nose, coffee in the flavor, coffee in the finish. It's just coffee everywhere. It's all supported by an English dry stout. It has 1.5 pounds of roasted to order espresso beans from the Mudhouse Coffee. I guess it's a local coffee house there too. Per barrel. Per barrel of the stout, so it makes it a very nice flavorful stout, and it's good for breakfast or any time of day.
Bill had it for breakfast every day.
Yes, he
that's
did.
Right.
Yep. Even at it when it got slushy in the fridge because the fridge was up too high.
It sounds like things in the refrigerator just aren't cold enough. Can you turn that up? So I turn it all the way up, and it's like doesn't seem like frozen. It's getting cold. It doesn't seem like it's getting cold. You open it up the next morning, and everything's frozen solid.
It turned it into a true ice box. Yes. Everything in there was ice. Yep. Yeah, it was very good.
All right, very good. So if you ever get around Southwest Missouri Way, check out Mother's Brewery. They do tours, and they keep something like 25 of their beers on tap at all times. So definitely very cool.
Yeah, Russ's favorite is their Chocolate Thunder.
The Chocolate Thunder is very good, but I think the Imperial Three Blind Mice is really good, although I have not tried the Imperial MILF yet, so that might be the new winner.
Well, the Chocolate Thunder is made with cocoa beans from Askenosi Chocolate, which is also in Springfield.
Yep, local chocolate manufacturer. Yeah,
but you can't go wrong with a MILF. A good MILF is good.
Are you talking about beer?
Oh, what were we talking about?
Yeah, okay. Just wanted to be, you know, clear about that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're down to the end. That's it. That was our episode, and we want to thank anybody who tuned in live. I know Ted is in the chat room, and Don, KC9ZMY, is in the chat room. I'm not sure anybody else was able to stop by this Thursday evening, but we will tease our upcoming interviews on the next episode, which will be on Monday, May, whatever that is.
May.
Something.
Yeah, it's still May.
That's Memorial Day, isn't it?
Yeah, May 30th.
Oh, yeah, are we doing something on Memorial Day?
Well, that's...
Yeah, it'd be the 28th.
28th, so. Yep. Well, unless everyone decides they got to do something else, we can move it if we need to. But
I'm going to be here, so it doesn't really matter.
All right, so, yeah. So we'll be doing it on Monday.
Yeah, we got it easy because we got a lot of interviews to play.
That's right, true. Yep, it's going to be super easy. So tune in for that because it's really, really informative. And I actually learned a lot and I changed my, I completely reversed my opinion of a certain company based on this interview. So, be there for that. So with that, this has been episode number 229, Post-Hamvention 2018 of Linux in the Ham Shack. I'm Russ, K5TUX.
I'm Cheryl, W5MOO.
And I'm Bill, NE4RD73.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Linux in the Ham Shack. LHS is a community-sponsored podcast. Our website is located at lhspodcast.info. You can support the program by visiting the LHS Patreon page of patreon.com/LHS podcast or using the contribute link on the website. Get in touch via social media. The show has a presence on Google+, Facebook, Twitter, Discord, and YouTube. Or you can drop an email to info@lhspodcast.info or record a voicemail at 1-909-LHS-SHOW. That's 1-909-547-7469. Visit the IRC channel, LHS Podcast, on the Freenode IRC network. Also visit the online merchandise store at shop.lhspodcast.info for fun and fashionable LHS merchandise. Become an ambassador and represent LHS at a Linux convention or hamfest. Email ambassadors@lhspodcast.info or visit the website for details. The podcast is recorded live every Monday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time. Connect to the stream at stream.blacksparrowmedia.net/8008/LHS live. Until next time, over and out. Linux in the Ham Shack and the Linux in the Ham Shack logo are released under a Creative Commons Attribute Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License.